Do you remember stories that you would have covered that were big? James Maxwell was the mayor from 58 to 66.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any stories that you had reason to interview him or been around him?
I knew Jim reasonably well. I knew him in the sense that I didn't have any social contact with him, but I knew him as the sense of the relationship that you occasionally develop, and I'm sure you did the same thing over your career, with people who are in public positions somehow and are used as sources, and you talk to them so much that you build up an element of trust that runs both ways. So I knew Jim that way. I knew Charlie Norman that way, who was the longtime city attorney and ended up writing all of the city's zoning laws, which is why Charlie turned into a Class A zoning attorney until he went over to the dark side and started working for developers instead of the other side. Charlie's gone now, but he was one of the best there is. Charlie also hired the first black city attorney. But that was during the time integration was starting to come into the schools. There was a huge difficulty in Tulsa about school integration, racial integration, led to a change in the whole culture of the community because it changed the education system. A lot of us were still so stupid that we didn't realize that education was the foundation of everything that you deal with in a community or in a country, as a family or as your own development. That's the way to solve racism. That's the way to solve poverty. That's the way to solve the inequality in the country of opportunity, is to make a good educational base. The economy depends upon it. The culture depends upon it. Your very nature depends upon it. But at any rate, that was one of the big stories that was going on at the same time.
So in the 60s, then early 60s, leading up to 64 and the Civil Rights Act, were there racial stories or unrest that you would have covered at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we did. A lot. People always used to say, why can't we cover this from a black perspective? Why can't we cover this from the African-American perspective? They weren't African-Americans at that time. They were black. And I said, well, part of the problem is that if you look under the yellow pages under B, there are no blacks listed under B, black leaders. So you kind of had to make your own sources. And that was tough when the community was trying to sort itself out. But it was during the time of Don Ross and B.J. McIntyre and people like that. The Young Turks, probably a terrible term to use for that. And you'd have people like Ben Hill, who was the longtime minister of the AME. Tulsa's black community tended to break down along two leadership lines. One was involved almost entirely with churches and led by ministers, and still is, for that matter, I mean, to this day. The other was led by these younger people who were suggesting that there is something going on in the country, and it ought to be going on here in Tulsa as well. We ought to be paying attention to this kind of thing. There were some other ameliorating influences that would come into it. The whole business about school busing, for example, was a huge issue across the country. It ended up being a big issue here, got into the federal courts. That's how we got the school magnet system, because that was a trade-off, essentially, by a federal court ruling. I mean, that's why we got Booker T. Washington and Carver and all of that kind of stuff. And then there was another element in the white community, which was led by a group of ministers, again. These are not black ministers, these are white ministers, who felt that it was part of the moral obligation that they had and the community had to try to desegregate the community. Not really sure that integrate is the right word, but at least to desegregate the community. And this group of ministers, who included John Wolfe, who is still alive, I'm happy to say, from All Souls, Warren Holtgren from First Baptist, Wiseman from, what was he, First
Presbyterian.
Yeah. Clarence Canepa. It would be really remiss of me if I didn't mention Canepa. He's in his 90s now, still active, from the Lutheran Church. They started meeting. They met every week for lunch. They essentially became the conscience of the community. And if you were plugged into them, it was a lot easier to figure out what was important and what wasn't, and how we were doing. And they tended to take different approaches to it Some would be very reasoned with their congregations. John Wolfe thundered from the pulpit about getting Charles Mason to desegregate the school, said Mason was the worst superintendent that we ever had, eventually got Mason fired, I think. And the schools went on to desegregate after that, after he left. But he would go to school boards and rail against the system as it was, and the system as it could be, and the system as it should be. And we need people like that. Every community needs people like that. And Tulsa was really fortunate, I think, at the time to have this group of men, I'm not trying to be sexist, but they were all men at that time, who found in a unified and coordinated front that they could make more progress. So here you have this thing happening, and there were many, many people of good heart and good mind, and many times with great resources, who were in white Tulsa, who realized as well that we needed to make some changes. Then you have the Young Turks over here on the north side, and you have the ministers on the north side, and everybody's taking a different approach, and the whole thing becomes a melting pot, which is what it should be, because that's the way a community really ought to make its decisions. And Tulsa was very fortunate, and we had political leaders like Bob LaFortune during that period of time, and Bob was a Republican. He was family oil wealthy. I mean, he didn't need any kind of power, position, anything else in order to make his credentials in the community, but he served as mayor, and he was more than just a mayor. He was a community leader. And he hooked himself up with the various neighborhood and ethnic groups. The Hispanics were pretty much a dot on the map, and there was no Asian community to speak of at that time. So it really was a black-white problem.
But even before him, it was Jim Hughley in 66 to 70. Was he a leader in this area?
Hughley was more of a businessman, at least in my view. And I've known Jim a long time, I mean, since before he took office. Remarkable man. He was, I think, the first Republican mayor. He was famous for saying, "Well, we finally got the city hall back where it belongs at Southern Hills," as I recall. He would chew those cigars of his that were never lit, and he'd have lunch down at the round table at the Summit Club. But his heart was always in the right place. And he did a lot of things that were very, very good for this community, particularly in terms of its economic development. And you may recall that that was sort of at the start of when the oil capital of the world was getting a little tarnished. That title was getting a little tarnished because people were starting to think, you know, maybe we don't have to be headquartered in Tulsa in order to stay in the oil industry. And so there was that, too. And that was where Hughley really shone, in my view.